back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday at 10 o'clock. That means my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, has joined us. Dr. Craig, hang on a second. We're going to do a little cleaning up. We've got a couple of callers who have been having a conversation with one another. Bob, you want to finish up your point to Paul, who seems to think that that Mandela Barnes is, you know, I forgot, what'd you call him, Paul?
A radical leftist.
A radical leftist. And Bob, you were saying what, Bob, to Paul?
You think he's representing a working class, and I think the Republican Party has been taking advantage of the working class at every step of the way. For example, the sales tax, what came into existence in Wisconsin, was a 3% tax in the mid '60s, and that's not proportionate to the income. That's proportionate to what we buy in retail. Thank God we were able to eliminate and keep it off the food, but it's there. And each Mandela Barnes is protecting the working class from the usurpation by the wealthy.
Hey Bob, thank you very much for the call. Paul, you want to respond?
I guess. Okay, Democrats are for unions, right? How come the UW healthcare system in Madison doesn't want to recognize the nurses unionized?
Democrats. That's not the Democrats that are preventing that.
Okay, UW system isn't liberal. Obviously, they're conservative at some point. They must have changed overnight. Second of all, in regards to the immigration reform that he was talking about, that it's only Republicans who are taking advantage of illegal immigrants. Okay, why don't we do something to secure the border? So if it's obviously only Republicans that are taking advantage, Mandela Barnes never worked for a union. You want to see my union card? I'll text you. I'll take a copy of it.
To see your card.
I know that.
34-year. I'm a 34-year card carrying union man.
Okay, there we go. We have something we can agree upon.
So Mandela Barnes is not for unions.
No, he never worked a day in his life.
Wait a minute. And Ron Johnson is for unions.
Ron Johnson owned a business and provided jobs for people. What job has Mandela Barnes ever provided for anyone?
Okay, Paul.
Has he ever written out a check?
Paul, hang on. Dr. Craig, sir, would you join the fray, please?
Sure. That was an interesting pivot on Paul's part. When you asked whether Ron Johnson was pro-union, we were told he's provided jobs. Well, he provided jobs by inheriting a large firm from his father-in-law. And that doesn't mean you're pro-union. I mean, the enemies of unions have been employers and continue to be. And there's massive amounts of union busting going on right now. Starbucks, for example, is doing all sorts of heinous things, threatening people's ability to have health care, to even get access to abortion, to try to head off the union. And so I don't know. I mean, we need to at least be honest about who Republicans are in this day and age. They are absolutely not pro-union. They try at every possible level, and you saw this in Wisconsin, to destroy workers' rights to form unions, which is a basic democratic right, a right to free association, leads to an authoritarian workplace. Unions are about democracy at work. Now, I don't understand, what is Paul's analysis of why there's not a single union that's endorsed Ron Johnson, and every single one that's active is endorsed Mandela Barnes? Are they all? How can you not see who stands with working people and who doesn't here? Now, you can critique Mandela, but it just, if it's on behalf of Ron Johnson on issues like unions or working people, then I don't even follow it.
Paul, you want to respond?
Starbucks. Starbucks isn't Starbucks lean left, and they're against unions. I think any business is probably anti-union. I would have to say that. Now, that could be Democrat, or that could be Republican. But I think that goes both ways. Once again, my example to the UW healthcare system, which last that I know, University of Wisconsin-Madison, was very left-leaning. Correct me if I'm wrong. Maybe they're now all Trump supporters, or MAGA, or Republican, or conservative, or whatever you want to say. But unless something... somebody reinvented the wheel overnight. University of Wisconsin-Madison is very left-leaning, and yet they don't want to recognize the nurses unionizing. Right there, that's a hypocrisy. Starbucks, another hypocrisy. What is he talking about? Yes, Mandela Barnes has never owned a business. As far as I know, he has no resume. Can he name one machine shop he's worked at? Hey. Has he ever bagged groceries? Anything. I think he has a lifelong, what is he, 35 years old? So he's probably been working how many years? 15? You want to say? Well, just, let's say he started working when he was 15.
Does that disqualify him from becoming a United States Senator?
I don't think that disqualifies him, but I don't think he has a resume compared to the guy that he's running against.
Paul, thank you very much.
Correct me if I'm okay. Thank you. Hey, thank you for the time. I totally appreciate this, and I'm shocked.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Dr. Craig, let's go to Tom from LA first, and then we'll get back to you, Dr. Craig. Tom, quickly.
Hey, Dr. Craig. First off, I just want to say that we, the people, ultimately are the government. I'm not going to bring up the whole thing about Mandela not being at that president's thing yesterday, because apparently he has addressed that he was in somewhere delivering groceries.
Right, but Paul, I do think
he needs to show up when the president of the United States is there for a union, thing. I think that was just a misstep by his campaign.
Yeah, but Tom, let's deal with the issue where people like Paul and others who somehow think they are closer to Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson and Governor Evers and Mandela Barnes.
Mega Michaels and Russian Ron, these guys do not even come close to the income of a union worker, for God's sakes. I mean, look at the history of unions. It's the we the people. If you want to say that, and so there's Republicans and unions as well, but it's a democracy in the workplace, and the people that are for a democracy in the workplace, go back to FDR, are the Democrats. It's not the Republicans. So, Paul, I understand your frustration because of money and politics. We have a real problem in this country, but the unionization that is coming up and the support of unions that are coming up are coming from the Democratic Party, the people that can actually make the change that has to happen. The Republican Party is completely against unions. So why you can hear Donald Trump say something about unions or he hasn't said anything about unions.
Hey.
Talk about trade deals or whatever, but then that doesn't follow through. That's a real problem.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. I really appreciate it. Yep. Dr. Craig, if you would be so kind, sir.
Boy, there's so much here. Paul has a right to his opinion that he would rather have us ruled by people who also rule us at work, right? People who run major companies, and that's okay. I mean, that we need a conservative movement. Any democracy needs a conservative party. It's a natural division in a representative democracy. I just want to have honest discussions of it, that where we're frank about it. They want to destroy it at every which way union power, and not a union power, but wages for workers. That is the Republican economic strategy. Ron Johnson has said we don't need any more good jobs here, that it's fine if companies getting large federal contracts simply bill it cheaper in South Carolina. In addition, look, he used his power not to benefit us, but to hold up the Trump tax cuts to make sure that he could get an $80 million tax break for his two largest donors, two billionaires in Wisconsin, Richard Eline and Diane Hendricks, who have underwritten his reelection, put in $20 million into the 2016 election and are doing it more now, and also got a benefit himself. It was something for pass-through corporations, and very few corporations are structured that way. He and those two billionaires here in Wisconsin were, and they got a huge return for their investment. That isn't representing us in the least, but well, we're going to have conservatives, and they're going to vote for conservatives. We just do. There's a lot of Fox News propaganda. This idea, look, UW Hospital is separate, run separate from UW-Madison. I would question whether UW-Madison administration is highly progressive. You can say they're very progressive students and faculty. That's different, right? But they don't run the UW Hospital and clinic system, UW Health. It was spun off as a separate entity. It is run by hospital administrators who are very much in line with all the hospital association, the other hospital administrators in this state, who are all viciously anti-union. They're not going to voluntarily recognize a union. And Scott Walker didn't just make it hard to have a union at UW Hospital. Act 10 actually banned it at the kind of a public entity that UW Hospital is. It's called a public authority. Now, Fox News also, they don't talk about UW Health. That's a state issue. They talk about Starbucks being liberal. Look, we have big corporations like the big tech companies that are socially liberal on some cultural issues. They will provide, you know, abortion coverage. They will provide gender-affirming health care, right, for transgendered people. But they are as repressive economically on workers, on the kind of wages they have, and on unions as any corporations run by very conservative people. So you can call them liberals, and therefore on the Democrat side, they actually support all sides. What Starbucks is interested in is Starbucks, but it does position itself differently in terms of some of the cultural issues out there, but certainly not the economic issue of the issues of the power of workers.
Dr. Craig, hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. On the line, my good friend Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, we got into this kind of a conversation because I was at we were broadcasting at Labor Fest, and I clearly talked about how proud I was and how strong President Biden was in his presentation. I also talked about the fact that I couldn't understand how people would be willing to support, you know, again, a man who has a $17 million mansion that doesn't live in the state of Wisconsin, and no telling how much money he's worth over the governor who is worth $1.5 million and an average everyday guy. No question at all about that. Closer to you and I than some guy who has a $17 million mansion and doesn't live in the state. And then the fact that Mandela Barnes, who's worth $200,000 or say based on what they're saying, and then Aron Johnson, who's worth $50 to $60 million. I don't understand, Dr. Craig, how people can somehow see a parallel between people who are wealthy beyond, you know, imagination and say, I'm more like that guy's more like me than the average everyday people that we are talking about who feel the pain of the citizens.
Yeah, I mean, your caller Paul has a right to who he'd like to vote for. It just, it'd be good to have, and it's hard because the information Paul's getting from right-wing media is designed to be inflammatory and to confuse, quite frankly, issues and not to have honest discussions. I want to try to push against that. Some conservatives are pushing against that. Of course, they tend to be defined as never Trumpers because they actually are independent thinkers.
Right.
But I would say that I don't think Paul has a right to say that he wants someone who's run a major company to be his U.S. senator. I don't think that being a business person, even if you are successful, and that's often oversold. I mean, all of the stuff about Trump being a great businessman, there's research out there that shows if you've just taken the inheritance he got from his dad and parked it in just parked it in basic financial instruments with a financial advisor, he'd be worth double what he is now, roughly, something like that. In other words, he's lost money throughout his career. So, but even if you do, they're not the same skills. Paul said that Mandela hasn't done anything in his life. We really have gotten to such an anti-government frenzy in our lives, in our society. And one of your other callers said, government is what we do together. It is our democracy. How can you hate our democracy? If you hate all government, we should hate government that's poorly run or unrepresentative, not government itself, right? That's democracy. That's what we do together if we're an authentic democracy. So Mandela has dedicated himself to public service. He worked for social justice organizations like MICA here in Milwaukee, a great social justice church-based group. And then he went into the legislature because he wanted to change the world for his community. For he grew up in the north side of Milwaukee in a middle-class family, two union parents, right, a teacher and a UAW member. And so I don't see why that we didn't used to frown on that. And whereas someone going in just to try to make millions and own mansions for their lives, they're better qualified than someone who actually cares about public service.
Yeah, I don't get
that. I will say this, Earl. We all know people who have the right experiences and then don't actually serve the people.
Right.
And we know people like Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who came from very privileged background, but came through his life to care deeply about average working people. So I do think we should judge politicians by their product, that someone who did not come up in the working class, in the middle class, may actually do more for them than someone who did sometimes. So you do need to, as they say in the Bible, we should judge thee by thy fruits.
You know, Dr. Craig, we clearly at a precipice, you hear the President of the United States and in his speech on last Thursday, and even his speech on this past Monday's Labor Day, talking about the average person. And he's always talked about the average person. And you and I remember Joe Biden from decades, many decades and bygone days, and it was always him talking about the average person. And what can we do in this society, and that there's injustice, that's at the core of who he is. And the fact that somehow a man like him is somehow crazed for defending the rights of the everyday American citizen, how do we get there, Dr. Craig?
Well, it really started a lot of the division polarization. We've gotten to the point that some polls say half of Americans think we're heading towards the Civil War. That division and hatred has been fomented by the ultra-rich, by large corporations to get their own way, to get a bigger share of the economic pie because it worked. And they continue to support candidates who are pro-insurrection, who want to overturn the last election because they can get things out of them, out of Congress, just for purely selfish reasons. And I was in the third row of the Biden speech at Milwaukee Labor Fest. It was really nice to see a president naming things. He not only named Big Pharma, but it is important that he has taken the step to name the threat to democracy. And it really is a threat to democracy. And I'm not just saying that from a partisan standpoint. Political scientists who studied comparative political science, you know, governments across the world, have pointed out the United States has become, is now not a full democracy. We're on the brink of not being a democracy. This is by actual criterion they use. But in addition, we're the first mature modern democracy that actually is on the brink of losing it because we have a conservative party. It's the first time a major mature democracy has had their conservative party decide they can't win through democratic means, and therefore they are going to undermine the basic democratic features.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. On the line is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, it is, you know, probably apropos that you are talking about the loss of democracy. I was talking a little earlier in the show about an article in the Salon that says, can we stop pretending that America is a functioning democracy? And let me read this paragraph quickly and let you respond. There's a fatal disconnect with the political system that promises democratic equality and freedom while carrying out socioeconomic injustices that result in a grotesque income inequality and political stagnation. Decades in the making, the disconnect has extinguished America's democracy. The steady stripping away of economic and political power was ignored by a hyperventilating press that thundered against the barbarians at the gate. Osama bin Laden, Saddam Hussein, the Taliban, ISIS, Vladimir Putin, while ignoring the barbarians in our midst. The slow motion coup is over. Corporations and the billionaire class have won. Their legalized bribery, the imperial presidency, the courts, or the penal system that can be defined as democratic, only the fiction of democracy remains. You say what, sir?
That is very close to accurate. I would say there's a little bit of democracy left, like we can still win this 2022 election, but we're getting closer and closer to Armageddon for American democracy. And
Dr. Craig, that's not hyperbole. You really believe that?
I mean, look at it. We've had, we already have a system that is structured towards minority rule. You think about representation in the state, in the U.S. Senate, two senators per state, and those states being weighted towards rural, lightly populated states, so that the Dakotas get four senators and California gets two, right? You have that. You have the filibuster on top of that. You have the right to gerrymander. I mean, here in Wisconsin, the Republicans have guaranteed them, with the help of both the U.S. Supreme Court and its shadow docket and the state Supreme Court, they've guaranteed themselves a supermajority in the state legislature, even if it's a Democratic wave election. About the lowest they could go is 62 seats out of 99 in the state assembly. That's not democracy. There's been a ton of voter suppression that has been claim to be about integrity of the vote. It's never been about that. That's a big lie. It's been about trying to make sure that people who might vote against the Republican Party have more trouble voting and therefore vote in fewer numbers. And so there became a point, and you know, we had a Republican Party that would still reauthorize the Voting Rights Act. That has gone by the wayside now. The Supreme Court that they appointed undemocratically gutted it. By the way, Democrats have won the popular vote in seven of the last eight national elections, and we now have a U.S. Supreme Court that is not just Republican, it is MAGA Republican, and is beginning and is rewriting the entire Constitution step by step. So it's hard to call this a full-fledged democracy. You know, we enjoy our battleground status in Wisconsin, But it is ridiculous that Wisconsin has more power and who holds national power in this country than California or New York, right? It's just a little silly, actually, and it's not democratic. Then you have major office holders threatening violence, right? You had what Lindsey Graham said, and Donald Trump leaned in on, how dare, if you hold Donald Trump accountable for violating the law, there'll be riots in the street. You have Tim Michaels this week, the Trump-selected candidate for governor here, who is open to overturning the 2020 election, certainly can't be trusted to certify. Yeah, so he said in response to the Journal Sentinel articles about his contributions to anti-abortion and anti-LGBT groups, he goes, I believe people should just be ready to get out on the streets with pitchforks and torches. And how low the liberal media has become, Michael said. People need to decide. Am I going to put up with this? Am I going to tolerate this? Taking somebody that gives money to churches and cancer research and used that as a hit piece in the media, I'm appalled. It's disgusting. He's calling for violence against what is simply a very mainstream media outlet, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, which has been more than happy to publish clickbait about Tony Evers and Mendel Barnes as well. Yeah, this is just. And by the way, no refutation of where those donations went. It's pretty scary once you dig into who he's been supporting. He wants it both ways. He wants all those votes, but he wants to be able to deny it to anyone who might be appalled.
You know, let's do this. Let's go to the phone lines and Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing? You say what?
Earl, I'm just calling to bring to your attention the results of two recent studies that corroborate Chris Hedges' article that you quoted. Distinguished public policy professors Martin Gillens and Benjamin Page analyzed 1,779 policy outcomes over a period of more than 20 years. In a September 2014 report published in Cambridge University Press, they concluded that economic elites and business interests have substantial independent impacts on U.S. government policy, while citizen interest groups and average citizens have little or no influence. And as reported in the New York Times in July of 2019, political scientists Joshua Kalla and Ethan Porter conducted their own in-depth study on this subject and came to the same conclusion, quote, voters' views seemed almost irrelevant. So there you have it.
Hey, Dave, thank you very much for that information. Dr. Craig?
Yeah, and I believe your caller, I don't want to misquote any of your callers, Earl, but I believe Paul was upset about money in politics,
right?
One of your conservative callers. It's been legalized by the Republican Party, by the Mitch McConnells, by right-wing judges that have been deliberately placed on the court to do so. Citizens United, the decision that deregulated campaign finance and allows unlimited large dark money contributions, it was stated as doctrine in the decision that it is not corrupting to spend millions of dollars on behalf of the candidates. Not based on any research, it was just declared as doctrine. And we know the opposite. It is legalized bribery. I think one of your other callers used that term, and I think it's an apt one. And so we see Republicans have been for this. They are against all campaign finance reform. The Democrats are the only party. There are some moderates that don't really want to do it or don't want to do it very much. But we had 269 of 271 Democrats willing to do very strong campaign finance reform, money in politics reform, and voting rights protections in this last Congress. We were just two votes in the U.S. Senate short because of two very conservative Democrats, Senators Manchin and Sinema. So if you care about money in politics, there's only one party working on it, and that's been a process. We didn't do anything, Earl, when the Democrats had full control of the state legislature and the governor's office from 2009 to 2011. I was one of the people working with people to try to pass serious campaign finance reform and voting rights reform and modernization of the election system. And the Democrats weren't in consensus. So there's been progress within that party, but it's a fight because a large part, you know, the moderate half Democrat Party, Earl, also takes a lot of big contributions and therefore is cross-pressured, right? So I want to own that the Democratic Party is not perfect. They're not knights in shining armor, but the only people really fighting and pushing for dealing with money in politics are within the Democratic Party, and the party itself has moved more and more progressive on that issue.
Dr. Craig, is it safe to say then that this election and where it is headed is a harbinger on whether or not this and 2024, whether or not this democracy can be resurrected? Is it possible with a 6-3 majority conservative Supreme Court that any of these things can happen?
Well, it can't with these justices. I think that they are liable to overturn almost anything. Their decision-making on the Wisconsin maps, as I read the decision and the dissent from Justice Sotomayor, was not a defensible decision. It was ideology, just as this laughably bad decision by a Trump-appointed judge to hold up the investigation into Trump's stealing of national security secrets and storing of them at his golf resort in Mar-a-Lago. These are not really judges. They're ideological politicians and rogues. Now, there's a term that is always used as a weapon in Washington called court packing.
Right.
I think you know, Earl, very well.
I talked about it yesterday, but go ahead.
There's no set number of judges on the U.S. Supreme Court. There have been a number of different numbers over the years. You don't have to stop at 9. Court packing was used, became an epithet in Washington when Franklin Delano Roosevelt, because of a court that kept overturning what we needed to get out of the Great Depression, made the New Deal program. He wanted to add justices, and there was a backlash against it. Now, the reason he was still successful is it kind of backed the Supreme Court off, and it stopped overturning everything. So he kind of worked, even though he didn't add justices. Right now, if you look at the illegitimate nature of what Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump did, Mitch McConnell refusing to appoint an opening for nearly a year, it should have been Justice Merrick Garland, and then them deciding to ram one in a couple weeks before an election, both of those were unprecedented, by the way, they've stolen two seats, and they'd already had a Supreme Court that was unrepresentative of the country, was more conservative than the country. And so the court's already packed, Earl. I think we should say the court is packed, and that we need to rebalance it. And there are two ways to do it. You can add additional justices. You can also limit the court's jurisdiction. Few people realize that the Constitution gives Congress authority over what the jurisdiction of the U.S. Supreme Court was. It was not made a super legislature that could decide everything. It has made itself that, and it clearly needs to get reined in because it is out of control. Do you know that there's appropriate attention to the overturning of Roe versus Wade? There was also a decision that's going to make it very hard to prevent a climate crisis and genocide that prevents the EPA from addressing carbon in the atmosphere. So it has gone, and there are a number of other radical decisions that have gotten less attention because of the importance of the Hobbs decision that overturned Roe.
You know, Dr.
Oh, and Earl, they're going to take up this doctrine that legislatures can overturn elections and decide who the electors are for president. They're taking that up next term, Earl. That's already been announced.
You know, Dr. Craig, yesterday I talked about the Supreme Court and the fact that the Democrats needed to move on it immediately, but Kristen Sinema and Joe Manchin prevented that. And so we don't know, you know, the outcome of what the elections are going to be. There's still time enough to do it. And there's the only way to balance it is to do it. And so to continue to hear people say, well, they're going to pack the courts as if they're somehow doing something illegal. Just what you talked about is what I talked about yesterday. They illegally packed the court on their side of it. And Democrats shouldn't be feeling guilty that because Republicans say they're packing the court. They did the exact same thing. We've got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is our guest. We'll be right back. Show as always. You can join us at 844-967-2789. It's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, who's always bringing, you know, the wood to the fire. Let's bring Jack from Merrimack on. Hey, Jack, how you doing? You say what, my friend?
Thank you, Earl. I have a couple comments about Michaels and Johnson. First of all, Michaels inherited that company. He's not a job creator. And that company was built on the backs of people that that worked for the company, of course. And I know because I used to work for that company. They paid me well. I will have to admit that. I was an IBEW member, and but I worked my butt off. I backfilled ditches and I spliced telephone cable hanging off of the telephone pole. I never saw Michaels out there, Tim Michaels. Jeez, you know, funny thing. He got all the money, the major portion of it, but we ended up doing all the work.
You never saw him at the ditches. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I never saw him hanging off a telephone pole. You got that right. Anyway, the other half of that is what Mandela Barnes worked. Mandela Barnes has worked his butt off trying to help the citizens of Wisconsin. That's why he went into politics in the first place. And I believe Mr. Craig already verified that statement. But he's a very, very hard worker as a politician. Unlike the ones in our legislature who are now taking about three quarters of the year off once again, which they did, of course, during the middle of a pandemic. So, people don't have any right to criticize Mandela. And in addition, of course, Mr. Johnson, all he does is give away, you know, billions to his buddies. And that's the only Republican platform plank that I know of. They have nothing else other than trying to frighten people and use xenophobia and LGBTQ phobia, you know, stuff like that, to make people angry and afraid and get them out to vote blindly for Republicans.
Hey, Jack, thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, these are dangerous times in this country, and people should be aware of that.
And Ron Johnson is one of the lead insurrectionists. He attempted to deliver the two sets of false electors, Wisconsin's and Pennsylvania's, to the vice president. Then he's such a brave leader, he then tried to dump it on his chief of staff. And I've actually met his chief of staff because he takes lobby meetings. This chief of staff isn't doing anything, I guarantee you, that Ron Johnson didn't direct him to do. And so, nor would most chief of staff take that upon themselves to pass on two sets of false electors. And Ron Johnson has lent credence and support to the entire insurrection, and in fact, the idea that the election was illegitimate and should be overturned. He's even called for the state legislature to take away the decision-making who decides who wins the Senate race for themselves and take it away from the Wisconsin Election Commission. So these are folks who don't believe in the basic principles of our republic. And what is scary about the pre-fascist MAGA movement is that it's fine with that. It does not support. It loves to talk about original intent and founding fathers. It doesn't believe in the project they started. They're trying to end the experiment in democracy, Earl. It's that simple.
You know, Dr. Craig, the battle that is underway, you and others, you never waver. As long as I've known you, you've never gotten to the point to sulk and feel sorry and say, listen, what these people have done, we know it's not right. You keep up the fight. You keep up the battle. Why?
Well, because it can still be won, right? It'd be sort of like, what would you think of the Badgers and the Packers? They threw in the white flag in the third quarter, right?
Right.
I wouldn't really be very happy with them. I mean, we are two U.S. senators away from being able to do a lot of dramatic, important reform for average people on a number of issues and to secure our democracy. And unlike the much more numerous number of people that live in California and New York and states like that, Wisconsin is one of the places that needs to get decide. This comes down to Pennsylvania and Wisconsin. It comes down to this race. And it comes down, I think, Earl, to people's individual agency. Folks need to volunteer in this election. They need to get everyone within their social network to vote because people vote less in the midterm election and because hate works. MAGA Republicans have shown that. That's why the polls were wrong in 2016 and 2020, 8 points wrong in Wisconsin. The elections were 8 points more Republicans than any of the polls predicted, because hate works, because the peasants with pitchforks really do come out from the hills when they're agitated the way the modern right wing, Donald Trump and his acolytes like Ron Johnson and Tim Michaels, agitate people. And, you know, Lord knows that Tony Evers is a nice man and who is trying to do good, but he's not going to inspire people to vote, right? He is going to impress some moderates. It's us, and it's quite frankly Mandela Barnes that can do that, Mandela Barnes being at the top of the ticket. We need to bring out everyone because it could be the fall of democracy or it could be the start of a real multiracial democracy, Earl, because really what this has been a 50-year backlash against multiracial democracy. We didn't have one, Earl, until the mid-1960s, until the Voting Rights Act. We were not a multiracial democracy until then, and this backlash has been going on and building strength ever since. And that is partly what's driving them, is that they can't stand the idea of equality for people of color in this society and having a truly multiracial democracy.
You know, Dr. Craig, man, thank you always for coming on these airwaves when I ask you and bring your eloquence and your knowledge and your levity to, you know, what sometimes appears to be an insurmountable reality. You've never, as long as I've known you, you've never been a person who, even though the odds may be stacked against us, you've always been the guy who continued the battle. So thank you for all that.
Thank you for all you do, world.
All right, so we got to get out of here. Thank everybody who made the show go. You've been tuned into the Earl Ingham Show. I'll be back on tomorrow. See you later.